If we don't extinguish the outbreak, sooner or later, even ones that are doing well are going to be vulnerable to the spread.
U.S. lawmakers scramble to stop rapidly rising coronavirus cases. It's June 30th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. You'll find us on Facebook at VOA Asia, as well as Instagram and Twitter and YouTube. Also ahead, the U.S. presidential campaign currently looks good for one candidate. The business of COVID, fighting the virus with high tech, continuing protests, and the story of one Chinese student in America. It's all on today's VOA Asia. Coronavirus infections are continuing to surge in the United States. Not since March has there been a spike like the numbers reported in June. VOA's Arash Arabasadi reports on how lawmakers, along with state and federal officials, are reacting to the grim news.
The advice of experts hasn't changed. Wear a mask in public, keep your distance, and wash your hands.
This is part of a process that we can be either part of the solution or part of the problem. If we don't extinguish the outbreak, sooner or later, even ones that are doing well are going to be vulnerable to the spread. So we need to take that into account because we are all in it together, and the only way we're going to end it is by ending it together.
The United States has 4% of the world's population, but accounts for one quarter of the more than 10 million confirmed cases of COVID-19. Cases in the state of Arkansas alone jumped nearly 25% this week. Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson calls for more testing.
We've doubled the amount of our testing nationally. We've got to double it again. That is probably the most important thing that we can do. And I'm concerned as a state, while we've increased our testing dramatically in Arkansas with the demand for testing from California and some of the high population states, how is our commercial providers going to keep up with that?
Hutchinson called for greater use of the Defense Production Act, which gives President Donald Trump emergency authority to control domestic industries like those that make protective gear. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said mandating the use of masks across the country is long overdue, something the Trump administration had not done.
The Centers for Disease Control has recommended the use of masks, but not required it because they don't want to offend the president. And the president should be example. You know, real men wear masks. Be an example to the country. And wear the mask. It's not about protecting yourself. It's about protecting others.
The president generally does not wear a mask in public. And at a recent campaign rally in Oklahoma, Trump blamed increased testing for the U.S.'s disproportionately high number of cases.
Testing is a double-edged sword. We've tested now 25 million people. Here's the bad part. When you do testing to that extent, you're going to find more people. You're going to find more cases. So I said to my people, slow the testing down, please.
The number of deaths nationally tops 125,000, and global fatalities are just shy of 500,000. Arash Arabasadi, VOA News, Washington.
These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. At least 28 dead, dozens missing in Bangladesh after ferry collision. At least 12 people have died after heavy rains and floods in southern China. China forces birth control on Uyghurs to suppress population. Who exactly is a communist rebel? Philippine Anti-Terrorism Act has answers. Taiwan celebrates gay pride. You'll find expanded coverage of all these stories and much more when you visit Facebook at VOA Asia. You can also stop by the voanews.com website. You're listening to VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Recent polls show that U.S. President Donald Trump is losing support among older Americans who helped the Republican win election 4 years ago. Mike O'Sullivan reports on recent polling that is viewed as good news for his Democratic challenger, Joe Biden.
Touting his efforts to help older Americans, President Donald Trump announced a cap on insulin prices at a White House event in May.
That's a big deal. Participating plans will cap costs at just $35 a month.
In battleground U.S. states such as Florida and Arizona, seniors are a large part of the electorate, says former Democratic mayor of Tucson, Thomas Volge.
But even more importantly, people over 65 tend to turn out in larger numbers than any other group. So in that sense, it's not only the percentage of the public, but also the intensity with which they are likely to vote.
Polls have long shown that voters generally approve of Trump's handling of the economy. But civil disturbances, questions of racial justice, and the COVID-19 pandemic have contributed to a surge in the polls for Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden. Trump is trailing Biden among seniors slightly in one poll and by at least 8 points in two other surveys. The White House has called some recent polls misleading, but a pollster says there's a trend.
He is not moving. Moving in the right direction, and you're looking at the clock ticking right now toward November.
Many seniors have made their decision, including this voter in Nebraska.
I want a president who cares more about the people who reside here than himself, his businesses, his money, and winning an election.
But other seniors are supporting the president.
I'm not agree 100% on what Trump has been doing. But he did, you know, maybe not everything was right, but he just emphasized, and he's the only politician so far I know, what he say during his campaign, he just execute his promise.
One New Yorker says he's looking for integrity and will vote for former Vice President Biden.
I think the man there right now has no clue what he's doing. It's whatever he comes up with in the morning.
Another senior and Trump supporter says Biden is not up to the job.
I think that he doesn't really have the stamina, and he has a lot of baggage that he's carrying. I don't think he's done much as a politician for all the years that he's been in there.
Polls show an average 10-point overall lead for Biden, who's at roughly 50% in national polls.
When a challenger reaches a 50% point, losing the election becomes very, very difficult for him. And from all accounts, it looks like Biden has now reached a 50% point.
A lot could change in coming months, and the polls did not forecast Trump's eventual win in the 2016 presidential election. What will not change is how crucial older Americans will be to determining who wins in November. Mike O'Sullivan, VOA News, Los Angeles.
Happening now in Asia, India reported 20,000 new cases of coronavirus Monday, while the U.S. confirmed more than 40,000 new infections for the third straight day. Governments are stepping up testing and considering more aggressive moves, such as renewed lockdowns. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, the coronavirus pandemic has forced businesses to reevaluate the way they operate, as well as see some of the specialists in a new light. Daria Digitz asks experts to look at what the future job market might look like. Anna Rice narrates her story.
Layoffs, cut hours, unpaid leave, and unknown job prospects. Since the coronavirus pandemic hit the U.S., over 40 million of Americans have filed unemployment claims. But some benefited from the crisis. Already in mid-March, the largest online retailer, Amazon, announced its plans to hire an additional 100,000 people. A lot of other places are looking for delivery drivers, and grocery stores are in constant need of employees.
We have gone to a mode where we're all shopping online, we're buying online, and I think that's probably going to continue. I don't think people are going to be anxious to get out to the stores anytime soon, and they've learned the convenience of it. So I think e-commerce is really going to continue to grow, and that means more jobs in that industry.
Experts say after the pandemic is over, the demand for medical workers will also rise dramatically, as more and more private companies want to have an in-house doctor, and some are even forming medical departments. Rise in demand is also predicted for cleaning services. The rising volume of online transactions and work from home will lead to the need for more IT and high-tech specialists. According to Paul McDonald, senior executive director of a large management consulting company, Robert Half, such skills as coding, data analysis, as well as knowledge in the sphere of e-commerce and banking will become increasingly sought after.
Technical support that goes along with that in those remote workforce as well. So remote technical support, as I mentioned, data privacy and security, highly valued. Business continuity experts in the tech arena. So that's technology. In the banking world, we've seen the demand for mortgage processors just pick up during this pandemic. Rates are still low, therefore mortgage refinancing is still very active. We've also seen loan processors be very much in demand.
The pandemic-imposed work routine will also affect the post-COVID job market. According to the research by the Gallup Management Consulting Company, about 60% of Americans worked at home during the pandemic, and over half of them would like to do it after the pandemic is over.
New avenues for people who need that type of flexibility. So people with young children, people with disabilities or chronic illness, these type of folks who have been trying to get flexible work space for a long, long time and have kind of run up against a wall and employers resisting that. And now suddenly in the face of a pandemic, we suddenly realize, oh, well, maybe we can do it.
Remote work can be beneficial not only to employees, but also to the employers, say experts. In that case, the job market will soon enter a true globalization phase.
If you have a remote workforce, it creates an opportunity for you to recruit people wherever they may be. You're not bound by geography. You may be based in New York City, and you could have workers in Kansas City that are working for you.
The whole idea of corporate culture will go through a lot of change after the pandemic. For millions of people around the world, a few months merged the idea of an office, classroom, and home in one. And for many, it might just stay that way. For Dati D. Gutz in Washington, Anna Rice, VOA News.
VOA Asia is on Twitter. Follow us at VOA Asia for developing stories in Asia, perhaps close to you. Our Twitter feed also has updates on programs you can hear and see with links to find them easily. With VOA Asia, you can also follow radio program host VOA Stevenson and VOA Melman. VOA Asia Twitter. We're always online for you.
This news from VOA Asia. Pakistani security forces say they have killed four assailants who attacked the Pakistan Stock Exchange building in Karachi with guns and grenades early Monday. Authorities say the attackers never entered the trading building. You'll find all the big stories throughout the day on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. This is VOA Asia. We're glad to have you with us today. The U.S. Department of Energy's Argonne National Laboratory is known historically as an important nuclear research center. But as VOA's Kane Faribault tells us, a critical present-day mission at the suburban Chicago facility is using some of the world's most sophisticated technology to combat COVID-19.
It takes a big building to house a mighty machine like the Advanced Photon Source, or APS, which gives researchers at Argonne National Laboratory a microscopic view of the front line of the war against COVID-19.
The APS is, you can think of it as a X-ray microscope. What we do is we produce extremely bright X-rays with a central facility that then is fed to a number of different X-ray beam lines where our researchers actually do their work.
The goal is to aid the scientific community's frantic scramble for an effective COVID-19 vaccine and drugs to treat those who contract it. To do so, Stephen Streifer and a team of hundreds are using the APS to decode COVID-19 proteins.
Those proteins are what makes the virus function. And if we can interrupt the function of those proteins, then we can create drugs that can treat the infection.
Streifer says the work at Argonne is pre-competitive. What they find is available to the broad medical community working to create a vaccine and other drugs.
We're interfacing with both a number of pharmaceutical companies, but also the broader research community. So this information is open to all.
The APS is one weapon in Argonne's arsenal in the pandemic battle. Another is one of the most powerful supercomputers in the world, Theta.
What we can do with the supercomputers is we can screen 4 billion drug compounds to see if they have any effect on the virus, and do that in a matter of weeks. To do that without the supercomputers would literally take you years.
While Theta is running those calculations, computer modelers are also using the machine to anticipate the spread of COVID-19.
So for the city of Chicago, what our modelers have done is essentially created a computer simulation with individual entities in that computer simulation that represent individual people in Chicago. Just representations, not real people, not real attributes.
Where for a given set of assumptions, we project what the future would be for the progression of COVID-19.
Charles Makel, a senior systems engineer, says the detailed information Theta provides underscores the importance of simple but highly effective things everyone can do to curb the spread of the virus.
The single most important thing that we've identified is the importance of people to adhere to protective behaviors, things like wearing masks, social distancing, washing hands.
Argonne's Stephen Streifer says research conducted at the facility has helped guide decision makers in Illinois over when to impose restrictions and how to safely reopen the state's economy.
So we're providing information directly to the governor's task force. We're also working very closely with the city of Chicago as one of our major partners so that they're using that information to develop policies that we hope will help and get us back to a state where we're doing the right things to keep people safe, but doing in a way which is minimally disruptive to the economy.
While currently focused on Illinois, Argonne is developing the capability to apply the model to other cities and regions, including those currently seeing dramatic increases in the number of new COVID-19 cases. Kane Fairbaugh, VOA News, Chicago, Illinois.
There is no current evidence that dogs can be infected. Hand washing after contact with all animals is recommended. This protects against other bacteria, such as E. coli and Salmonella, that can pass between animals and humans. For more information, visit www.who.int or www.cdc.gov.
As we continue with VOA Asia, a month after George Floyd, an African-American man, died in police custody in Minnesota, protests against police brutality and for wider racial justice have spread not only across the United States, but throughout the world. Isha Sarai looks at the sustained motivation of these uprisings.
Advocates for racial justice say that the protests seen across the United States in the past month are not new, organic, or solely because of George Floyd's death. The movement has been built on years of organizing and a growing list of individuals killed at the hands of police.
It arrives at a moment in which the public's patience for police misconduct has been expended. So the George Floyd video arrives after the video of Philando Castile in Minneapolis, after the video of Jamar Clark in Minneapolis, but also after the video of Tamir Rice, Walter Scott, Laquan McDonald.
Black Lives Matter!
Defund police!
Some demonstrators have noted how the COVID-19 pandemic has contributed to the sustained motivation of nationwide protests.
I already have to fight systemic racism. I have to fight a virus that I do not understand, that no one understands, and you're still killing me on national TV? Just something's got to give.
This year, social media, fundraisers, and petitions have accompanied rallies in the streets.
You have the highest unemployment rate you've ever seen before. People actually have the time right now to go out into the streets. Now you realize that you and your friends can, you know, create a petition, can sign something, can, you know, get folks out on the street, can volunteer to bring water.
Black Americans who have taken to the streets in recent weeks note that discrimination and violence against them is nothing new.
I live it, right? Because I was born a black woman, right? So this is not something that I'm just coming to realize.
Activists note that an increase of organizing and educating on social media has contributed to wider awareness of the movement.
Young people crafting hashtags, crafting messages, engaged in serial strategic disruption of daily life, globalizing the message, tying it to a set of public policy reforms, and pushing the conversation, changing the civic vocabulary.
While the specific circumstances of the 2020 protests for Black Lives are different than previous ones, activists believe the current movement is the result of years of organizing.
Based on my 25 years of doing this work around the country, this is a serious moment at the dawn of a movement. I thought so 5 years ago. I don't think I was wrong.
Brooks and grassroots activists are confident this current movement will affect real change, noting that it has already sparked conversations about police reform in both local and federal governments. Isha Sarai, VOA News, Washington.
China sends more students to study in the United States than any other country, over about 300,000 a year. Some young Chinese attend U.S. high schools to be more prepared for a U.S. college or university. VOA's Bronwyn Benito has the story of one student's journey living and learning in America.
Yichen Zhang graduated from Emerson Preparatory School in Washington at the top of his class. But the COVID lockdown robbed the high school student of teenage traditions, like going to the prom and giving his valedictorian speech.
I used to be really lost.
Instead, Zhang delivered a valedictorian video.
This lost.
Showing friends, family, a poolside graduation, and a basement prom. But that's not the kid who arrived in the U.S. when he was 16. Scared and shy, Zhang says he thought he had to be perfect, a straight-A student, the president of every club.
I constantly felt I had to chase behind that expectation to be that person that people expect in their minds.
Zhang's host family embraced him, including him in their lives and in their world.
He was shy to begin with, but then once he had a comfort level, we got a real taste of his personality. He liked us, we liked him.
While Zhang discovered he could express himself through singing, he said he still felt pressure to stay up all night, studying to get perfect scores.
And with that mentality, I really struggled for a while. Both mentally and physically.
The Sturm family and Zhang's teachers at Emerson encouraged him to study less.
We're strong believers in work hard, play hard, but we gotta play hard.
That really opened me up to a completely new different path. That, you know, I can actually nourish my mind and enrich my life with so many other things and options.
When prom was canceled, the Sturms recreated that tradition for Zhang in the basement. His girlfriend, who was visiting from Boston University, stayed on after her campus closed because of COVID.
She really wanted to go to prom with me.
We all dressed up, played good music, played games. We crowned them as prom king and queen. It was an all-night affair.
Diploma!
In September, the Sturms planned to pack up and drive Zhang to Minnesota to begin college. Just like they did with their other children. Bronwyn Benito, VOA News.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. Find us on Facebook at VOA Asia. You can also follow us on Twitter at VOA Asia, and we're on Instagram and YouTube as well. We thank you so much for spending time with us today. And we thank our managing editor, Diane Gao, our VOA Asia team. That's Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, and Amy Popeboom. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a great day ahead. Be safe. Be well.